And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The scientific community is telling us if we do not address the global crisis of climate change, transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to sustainable energy, the planet that we're going to be leaving our kids and our grandchildren may well not be habitable. That is
sounds
a major
like a question. If you were to say to him, how's the tongue today? Here's a Bernie said, the tongue is always very good. And one of the reasons the tongue is good is because the capitalists are the ones who made certain the tongue is not as good as it was in Poland. I got to tell you, as good as the tongue is today, the tongue was much better years ago before the capitalists put too much brine in it. The pickles are pretty good today, but the fact is the pickles are not what they once were. America's pickles have gone straight downhill with the advent of the corporate structure and the corporate mentality. When this was a family-owned business, when pickles were made by families, the pickles were much better. And as a result of corporate welfare, I must say in all fairness, the corporate welfare has destroyed the American pickle.
Yeah, that's my summary of the entire so-called Soviet-era debate. I felt like I was watching something from the Khrushchev era in color. In other words, if you were to change that last night's stooge debate, so carefully controlled, Bernie Sanders set up strictly to make Hillary look normal. She's about as normal as that cuckoo clock I just played behind Sanders. I don't know about you, but I got a migraine from watching it. I'm sick. I didn't really drink last night. Nothing. Two beers and a dinner at the Basque place I go to after I had to run out. I couldn't take it. And I am stuck with a hangover. Not from the beer, not from the veal. I got a hangover from watching those people last night. So I did something I've never done before. I tweeted during the debate. I'm just getting into it. It's new for me. And here are some of my tweets. First, I said, will Bernie wear a clean suit for the debate or a filthy Workers' Party outfit? People seem to have liked that one. And then I'm going to go to the... the Freakbook account that I have. I mean, Facebook, Freakbook, whatever it's called. Look, if everyone's doing it, why not do it in the road, you know? And the fact of the matter is, it's fun in a certain strange way, but it's a waste of time. At the end of the day, tweeting is a waste of time. That's why I never did it. So I tweeted that. Then I tweeted Axelrod, Obama's brain being worshipped by Cooper. By the way, Cooper's glasses, did you see? I wrote, what sick glasses, Andy Blooper. When he first came out with those, they were like Martian glasses. Who was his ophthalmologist who picked these glasses for him? And by the way, you could just imagine being as vain as that guy is, how many hours, days he must have spent with his ophthalmologist picking those glasses. And he made a mistake. They made his eyes look narrower than they already are. Anyway, that was in the beginning. Then came the psychopath, the biggest failure in presidential history being featured on tape by CNN. And I couldn't believe what I was watching. They were running a tape of the loser. The man has wrecked the entire world and the nation. And he gets up there talking about everything is glowing and great and they want to keep it going with more Democrats. Then Sheryl Crow, I thought she had passed away years ago. I'm glad to see she's still alive. I said, what? Sheryl Crow? They dragged her out to sing the national anthem? So I tweeted this. I said, I outdrew Sheryl Crow at the Concord Pavilion 10 years ago. Why is she not singing the Communist Internationale? That got like 12,000 people that liked that one. Then Jim Webb, he's a hero. Go Jim Webb, the only patriot on the stage. I happen to like Jim Webb. I'd vote for him, by the way. I think he is actually more conservative than half the Republicans. I'll tell you right now, Jim Webb is more conservative than Marco Rubio. And let's put immigration aside for 1 minute. On national security, how can you beat a man? How can you beat a man who is a U.S. Marine? How can you beat a man who served in combat? How can you beat a man whose son is a combat veteran? How can you beat a man who was Navy Secretary? You can't. So I was very impressed. I didn't even know Webb would be on the stage. And it just shows you. It just shows you how demented and sick the American media is that they completely eliminated Jim Webb from the build-up to this debate. They made it sound like it was Hillary, the crazy crackpot ILGW Bernie Sanders, and the other guy, whatever his name is. O'Malley was like, I don't know where this guy came from. He's like Vic Tanney's gym. Looked like he was just stressing out his pecs every minute. Didn't make any sense, but every minute he was showing his shoulders and pecs. I didn't know what he was talking about. But nevertheless, okay, so it was Bernie versus her. Speaking of her, I don't know about you. I think that's why I have a migraine, just looking at her. That smile, that fixed six smile gets me ill. That Catawake the cream look, I can't stand it. Always on top of everyone. Always has to be right. Always a laugh. Never answering a question. Haven't you had enough of her? I would take Bernie Sanders over her. At least there would be somebody new to her. I've had it enough with her. How can you vote for this woman? Can anyone listening to the show tell me what she has done that qualifies her for the presidency? And speaking of her, and I don't mean to be rude in any way, and I'm not trying to insult anybody with this, but I did an analysis, a quick one, and I analyzed that underneath that coat she was wearing, the amount of material on her pantsuit, the yardage, could make three burkas. If you were to cut the pantsuit up itself and stretch it out on a fabric table, three burkas minimum for an average-sized woman in Iraq. Just saying, I'm just saying. And then I texted Facebook, Commie Sanders pushing class warfare, his stock and trade. Then she talked about the poor again and how she's going to help the poor. And I said, hey, Hillary, does the Clinton Foundation share its income? Then we got to the guns, and I wrote, so boring, leaving this, I can't take it. Dems are attacking guns and God as usual. Then they got into foreign policy, and Hillary said she was for a no-fly zone, so Michael Savage tweeted the following, Hillary for a no-fly zone, ... on Bill's pants? That got one of the biggest responses. You know, always that kind of thing. Then finally I had enough. About 45 minutes into it, I texted this, going out for Chinese, can't take the commie liars another second, looks like a staged Soviet event. So I go out, I was away for 2 hours, as I said, I had the veal, I had the two beers, the light beers. I come back, and they were still talking on the stage, I think. 2 hours later, the Soviet... So I said, back from dinner, are they still attacking working people and pandering to the street vermin? That's all. And then I woke up in the morning, and here we were again. More of the same. Biggest debate in history. It drew... look at the Drudge Report. The actual numbers show the opposite. That's all. Biggest debate in history. Now, shows lower numbers. By the way, I went to the... InfoWars website run by Alex Jones, and I found an article that confirms everything I've suspected about Obama. A former NSA analyst says European officials are asking him how U.S. president could be impeached. They think he's quite mentally unwell. EU diplomat says my government, meaning the whole government, and he wouldn't name the government, believes that Obama is quite mentally unwell. How many months have I told you he's crazy? How many months have I told you the man is unfit to serve? How long will you sit there and say the king has clothing on when the man is showing all signs of cracking up and being mentally ill? He was probably mentally ill when he took the job. And if you analyze it, you go to the bottom of that about POTUS, they say he projects himself in a manner that makes him appear to have egomaniacal, sociopathic, narcissistic God complex. What is new about that? And someone said, had a senior EU diplomat, old friend, asked me today, how does your impeachment work? My government believes Obama is quite mentally unwell. I don't know what that government might be, but I think it's an understatement. I mean, to say that they believe he's quite mentally unwell, I think it's an understatement. I think the men in the white coat should have arrived in the White House a long time ago with the butterfly nets. That's the opening to the show. And by the way, I listened to the so-called debate. It got me sick. Not one word about the Christians being slaughtered in the Middle East. What else didn't these wonderful, wonderful people who are also concerned about the middle class? When I become the president, I will make sure the middle class benefit and you have free college. Come on, Bernie. Bernie's going nowhere. Bernie has a very narrow band of followers. College students, mainly marijuana-addled minds, government workers, people on the bottom who don't work at all. Who else is in favor of that schnook? As I said to you yesterday, Bernie Sanders may as well be a product of the Hillary Clinton campaign to make her look like a centrist. That's simple. I don't want to repeat myself. If you missed the show yesterday, I can't repeat it today. But I'll open up the lines, 855-407-282. And if you think I'm just going to stand here and bash Democrats for 3 hours, you're probably right. But there is one Democrat, and I'll repeat it again, who stood out, who I think is a great guy. I'd love to have him on the show, Jim Webb. Jim Webb has an interesting background. Jim Webb has many, many military awards and citations. Jim Webb was, as I said, a combat Marine in Vietnam. Did you know that he was awarded the Navy Cross for heroism in Vietnam? The second highest decoration in the Navy and Marine Corps? Did you know Jim Webb was also awarded the Silver Star, 2 Bronze Stars, and 2 Purple Hearts? Did you know that he did such brave things in Vietnam that he took a grenade to save his men, and his war wounds left him with shrapnel in his knee, kidney, and head? The fact of the matter is, this man is a hero. And he went to the U.S. Naval Academy, commissioned as a second Louis in the U.S. Marine Corps, went to the Marine Corps Officer Basic School, promoted to first Louis in the second half of his tour in Vietnam, and he served as a platoon commander with Delta Company, 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. That is a man who I know, but I saw, no matter how they try to steer him into global baloney warming, no matter how they try to take guns away from Americans during the debate, they try to say, you know, what do you think about guns? And he wouldn't go for it. He held his ground. He was a man who understood the danger we are facing from the Islamo-fascists. You know, and I'm very excited by the fact that there's at least one Democrat, at least one on that stage, who is of the type that I talked about that used to exist, the conservative Democrat. He is, in essence, the, I don't know how to put it, what shall I say, the Reagan Democrat type, even though he's a Democrat. Now, he may have policies that don't meet up to the qualifications of some of the stooges in the right-wing radio business who think that they're the Pope and that they decide who is a conservative. You know, who's conservative enough for me? Yeah, they sit there in their houses passing foul gas out of their ears, and they decide who's a conservative, laughing all the way to the bank. It sickens me. It sickens me that people sit there deciding you're perfect, you're imperfect, you're less than perfect, no one's perfect. But nevertheless, Jim Webb is my kind of guy. Threw himself on a grenade and shielded the officer next to him from the explosion with his own body. To me, that's a man that I think is a great man. That's simple. So they asked Jim Webb, you know, about a commander-in-chief, which I thought was an amazing interchange, about whether he thinks Bernie Sanders, the draft-dodging, communist, anti-American, backstabbing slime ball from the Lower East Side of Manhattan would be a good commander-in-chief, and whether troops would follow that slimy thing, that man who should be selling pickles and Katz's. Wait till you hear the interchange when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. Financial.
You're misinterpreting the hammer and sickle. When I was raised by my parents, God bless them. Oh, I don't believe in God, but I don't believe in blessing them. But they taught me when the workers of the world unite, there'll be peace and justice on the planet. Now, I'll tell you something else. The right-wingers have misinterpreted what the hammer and the sickle mean. That is not a hammer nor a sickle. That is not a fist raised in the air. No, when you see Black Lives Matter with the fist in the air, they're not really raising a fist in the air either. And they have a justification to raise the fist in the air. No one else does, because their lives matter and nobody else's lives matter. But I said that because the hammer and sickle is misinterpreted because of the right wing in this country. And when I become president, there will be the workers of the world, and they'll unite, and we'll be together. So he's going to be good now. I hope he stays in there. Patrick on WABC. I'm still developing my Bernie.
Michael, I got to tell you, I love it. You should be a comedian. I sit here and I'm laughing so hysterically. I'm coming into New York City right now, and it's just beautiful. But I really called because I wanted to mention 2 weeks ago, you were speaking about that commie Pope phony, and you were speaking the truth, and New York City was hearing it, and they took you off the air. They took you off the air the next day because they didn't want to interfere with the commie, proselytizing in New York City.
Well, wait, but I'm on the air now. I mean, I'm on WABC, right?
No, you only took you off because of the day the Pope was here. They didn't want.
Well, I don't know that it was because of what I said about the commie Pope. I think it was because there was a rally in Madison Square Garden, which is right in the same building as the station, and they chose to preempt me. I don't know whether it was political or not, but I'm on WABC, and I'm very happy to be on that and many, many other stations. If you were to ask me a question, make believe I'm Bernie Sanders, I'll entertain you a minute.
you catch me off guard here. All right, Bernie, listen. Do people deserve to have a gun, a Second Amendment, or should they be taken away?
Although I come from a rural state where guns are very important, I am totally for and against guns. The fact of the matter is those people who hunt understand the gun like others do not. However, nobody else should own a gun except those who vote for me in Vermont. And having said that, the fact is a gun is a very dangerous thing in the hands of a liberal like myself who is on medication because I am so suicidal that I might pick it up and slaughter everyone around me. Therefore, I think all guns should be banned because people like me are insane and hysterical. I'm working the Bernie Sanders voice. And by the way, stay in the line. I'm sending you my new book, Government Zero. I'd like to get a copy to Bernie, but we don't know how to reach him. We're trying through all of the ILGWU contacts that we still have, the International Ladies Garment Workers Union. We're trying the Brazier Union. Those who, but the thing is, okay, yeah, it's fun. I mean, I had a hangover today. From the debate. I watched it too long after a 3-hour show. Before I knew it was on, I figured I'd watch 15 minutes. I was captivated by the Soviet era mentality of the entire structure. And I couldn't stop watching it for about an hour, I'll be honest with you. And then I got a headache from watching it. I was too much screen all day long. I'm on 3 screens during the show. I got the call screener. I got the news screener. Email screener. I got the Skype screen. I like it. I like all the screens in front of me. And then I go to a screen for an hour afterwards. So I got a mug. And then it can't be the beer. I'm 5 hours too early for a drink, but that's what I think I'm going to have in 5 hours from now. Really, tonight's, I got to make up for last night. I need compensation. Jeremy on WBAP, what's on your mind today on the Savage Nation?
Yes, sir. I felt compelled to call. I spoke with you once before about Robin Williams. I'm a shrink in Fort Worth, Texas. And we had a great conversation.
Oh, God, poor Robin Williams, how he hung with the strap in the garage. Very sad. He lived 4 doors down from me here. And so what are you calling about tonight? Who are you going to analyze?
Well, listen, when you were bringing up Obama earlier, I wanted to point something out to you that I think...
Hold on. Can you stay on the line? We want to hear a psychiatrist's analysis of why an entire European nation thinks Obama's mentally unstable and needs to be removed from office. And then we'll ask him about Bernie Sanders' mentality.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Bernie Sanders was born and raised in the borough of Brooklyn in New York City. Graduated from the University of Chicago, well, that unto itself. While a student, old Bernie was a member of the Young People's Socialist League and an active civil rights protest organizer for the Congress of Racial Equality. He also was involved with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Now, if you look at the guy's history, and then you listen to him last night where he tried to, you know, reinvent himself, they asked him, how could you serve as commander-in-chief when you were a draft dodger? Compared to Jim Webb, for example, who was is a hero, not was. You have to listen to the socialist liar in clip 7. Just play clip 7 of old Bernie Sanders, how he tries to repaint himself as a patriot.
When I was a young man, I strongly opposed the war in Vietnam. Not the brave men like Jim who fought in that war, but the policy which got us involved.
Let's stop right now. You know and I know he's a liar, like all of them. That's not a big insight. He opposed the policy of the Vietnam War, but not the brave men. Oh, really? Who was it who spit at the brave men when they came back from Vietnam, Bernie? It was you and your cohorts. You and your communist cohorts who spit on them in the streets and called them baby killers, you piece of garbage, you. I'd pay $1,000 right now. I'm going to offer right now. Anybody who has a still or an 8mm tape of Bernie Sanders, probably had a beard in those days, Birkenstocks, screaming against soldiers as they come back to America from the Vietnam era, $1,000. And I'll take you to dinner. That's all. I want it. I want that right now. I want to see him spitting at a soldier, screaming at them, calling baby killers. Yeah, someone's going to really follow him into a hail of machine gun bullets. Right. Now, Webb, on the other hand, I tell you, if anyone would follow this guy, he's a real hero. But that's just the beginning. Jeremy on WBAP in Dallas is a shrink who has an insight on Obama's mind, if you want to call it that. Jeremy, welcome back. So give us the short version.
Yes, sir. The short version is when you've been watching and observing Obama this whole time, you've had an uneasy feeling that something is wrong. And what I can tell you is that as a clinician, That's the first thing I look for when I'm in the room with somebody. Anytime something doesn't make sense or an intervention doesn't work, I start thinking personality disorder client, because they have the inability to have insight. In other words, they can't connect the dots from what they do to why.
Okay, so the other day Obama gave a speech on 60 Minutes. He had made an appearance. And Steve Croft kept trying to press him on his failures in Syria, as opposed to Putin, and he was in denial. Would that be an example of a man who is mentally off?
That is exactly right, and let me tell you why. Because in his world, in his disordered thinking, in order for him to be right, somebody has to be wrong. And in order for him to be wrong, somebody has to be right. And he's not going to allow that to happen. So then the brain has to do away with the ability to have insight, which means, you know, this happened because you did this. So it's not going to work. He's not going to be able to have the kind of insight to where he can be positively or negatively redirected by any other force. It's not going to happen. And he'll construct everything.
But let me ask you something. Having said that, isn't that true of most strong-willed achiever types? They're never wrong.
So here's what I can tell you. It's true in that that's a tactic that they use, but it's not their baseline method of operating. That's the difference.
But how do we determine the difference between someone who is very strong-willed and unwilling to admit they're wrong from those who are unable to because they don't ever know they've made a mistake? That is a very difficult line to distinguish, isn't it?
Yeah, well, for a professional, it isn't, because we're trained to do that. Because, you know, we're trained to draw out the insight in a person because, A, they'll either... People only go to psychotherapy when they want to change or when they want permission to stay the same. And so...
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Oh, and they want permission to stay the same. I never heard it put that way. Yeah, that's why they sit there and the guy tells them that they're fine. They did nothing wrong. In other words, they're going there for dispensation like he's a priest. The shrink is supposed to tell him, you did nothing wrong, the other guy hurt you.
Very good. And also, you know, it's the same thing with Bernie Sanders. You know, I mean, if you wanted to look at an analysis of him, you know, I think this guy, he has such a compounding lifetime of regret and almost remorse that...
Wait. This is interesting, because you're not saying the same things about Obama and Bernie, which is very interesting. Now let's go back to Obama for a minute. Here was a young man, a boy, when he was a boy, who never could do wrong. He was handpicked from the beginning. It was almost like a Manchurian candidate. They knew this guy would go very far. He was tall, good-looking, had a great voice, and they groomed him from early on. Nobody ever said to him, Barry, you're doing something wrong. Would you agree with me that he's an example of that type of child going back?
Actually, I will agree with you, and I'll actually do you one better. Not only did he surround himself with people who wouldn't tell him he was doing something wrong, but he surrounded himself with people who are willing to lie to gain whatever movement they wanted to. And you get used to that. You feed on it. It's almost like an addiction. So he spent the rest of his life having to surround himself with a cacophony of those who are like that. I mean, they provided the environment like a petri dish for his disordered thinking to blossom. I mean, that's how it goes.
Well, yeah. So the grandparents protected him from anybody who criticized him. The skids were greased for him from Punahou High School on, for obvious reasons, which I don't have to mention on this show. He was a product of advancement without qualifications his entire life. And then he gets shunted into the presidency. Here is a man who never would have qualified to be a Secret Service agent or an FBI agent at that time because of his associations with known terrorists and known communists. And here he is now sitting on the top of the United States of America doing things that everyone with a rational mind will say are not in the best interest of the nation. But we've covered this before. Now we move on to today. Now we see this list of candidates on the stage. Tell us about Hillary Clinton's psychosis.
Well, I think with Hillary Clinton, it's a little bit different. You know, with Hillary Clinton, I actually tend to think that really her personality is the problem. I don't think, you know, she's not very likable, and she doesn't know how to draw people towards her personality and what she can offer from herself, but rather what she can control and offer people, you know? And that's
why do so many people like myself find her particularly repugnant? What is it about her that turns so many people into a yuck factor, where they look at her and get sick? In plain English, what is it about that? Is it the smile, that smugness, the unwillingness to change, that rigid, that fake smile? What is it about it that turns so many people off against her?
I'll tell you what it is, because I think on the journey, on, let's say, for example, your journey and my journey, which are reasonable journeys of success, which you only encounter one way. That's through hard work you said something one time about the only way that you're ever gonna succeed in life is through staying up all night, plowing through school, hard work. I don't know. It was one of these things that you said that just I've never forgotten, and that's the truth. And along your path and along my path, we encountered 100 Hillary Clintons. Period. And we could move through them, you know, like a snake. You could get around them and gather your success.
She is the type that runs universities. She is the type that you would encounter largely in academic or government institutions. She's not the type of woman that you would encounter in the business world. That type of mentality and that type of facial structure, meaning facial delivery, generally doesn't appear in the business world. It's not real enough for business. That's been my experience. I know some tough women in business. They don't have that persona at all.
Exactly. And so let me tell you why you're so right. Because when you're in academia, your loop of constant feedback is basically your grades and how you're moving through that structure. You can avoid people like that, and you know they didn't earn their keep. You know they didn't earn their place. That's the difference in the business world. So now with Hillary Clinton, people like you and me are reasonable people. We're forced to look at her and deal with her personality structure, and there's like nothing we can do about it. So we have to find a way to make sense of it because we have to live with it. You have to analyze it and study it so that you can put it out there as a product for your listeners. So you can do
what astounds me is that other than the Clinton machine, which is awesome and powerful and has more money than anyone else from foreign and domestic sources, other than the Clinton machine, where is her base coming from? She is not well liked by most women in this country, no matter what the sales pitch is. Who does she appeal to with that story? First of all, we've seen her for 8 years in action as a co-president. Then we saw her disaster as a Secretary of State. She engineered the Arab Spring. She caused the wreckage in the Middle East. She won't cop to anything that she did wrong. I heard it last night again with Benghazi. She talked about why after Gaddafi, that monster, fell, do you know that they had the first free elections in Libyan history? Do you know that people voted in total denial as to what she actually created? She must know better, don't you think?
I do, but I think that's perfect analysis, because with Hillary, you know that she knows better, and that makes it worse. With Bernie Sanders, this is a guy who will simply, just to be relevant, he'll say anything and do anything. Obama doesn't know any better because I think...
Right, now I agree with you. See, Obama doesn't actually know the damage he has wrought. I think that's what you were saying. Hillary knows what she did. But she's such a smooth liar that she can, oh, yes, they voted, that kind of guy. But Obama doesn't even know what he did because no one will tell him.
Exactly. I mean, Hillary's blinded by pure blind selfishness. I mean, I think she does know better. She's just one of those people that you just have to simply outsmart and outwit. And a lot of her base is going to come from people who are simply confused and are intimidated by her national presence.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're confused. You know,
well,
Bernie Sanders,
Bernie Sanders graduated from the University of Chicago, Bachelor of Arts in Poli-Sci, what else? He married Deborah Schilling, and they bought a summer home in Vermont. They had no children and divorced in 66. Did you know that he spent several months on an Israeli kibbutz? Did anyone know that? Does anyone know about that part of his history? Now, why would Bernie Sanders communists go to an Israeli kibbutz in the 60s? The answer is because Israeli kibbutzim are run on, so they're all socialists. That, you know that, don't you? I think I'll have to explain it. My friend, I'm sending you Government Zero, which everyone has gotten from me so far is raving about. Stay on the line. The only reason Bernie, who is not religious, doesn't believe in Judaism or God, would go to an Israeli kibbutz is because kibbutz is a sort of collective farm. So that was a natural place for him to go to. People don't understand that Israel was originally a socialist nation, which is why Russia gave the final vote to make to accept Israel's statehood. I don't think you know that either. When Israel was originally founded, it was a socialist nation, which is why Russia at the time voted to include Israel in the United Nations. I don't think people know that. It's only because it was a socialist nation, not because they love Jews so much. Anyway, it's a small point. Sanders' brother, Larry Sanders, lives in the United Kingdom. He's not related to Larry, the comedian Larry, whatever his name. What's Larry's name, the one I love? Larry. Who? No one knows. Larry David, no. Sanders' brother is Larry Sanders, not Larry David, the comedian. And he lives in the UK. He was a Green Party county councillor. representing the East Oxford Division on Oxfordshire County Council. Larry Sanders ran as a Green Party candidate in the British general election and came in fifth. Now, here we go. Sanders has said he is, quote, proud to be Jewish, but not particularly religious. Now, how does that work? How can you be proud to be Jewish but say that you're not religious? Does that compute in any way? What is he proud of, then? What part of being Jewish gives him pride? Does anyone know? What is it? His accent? Sanders' wife is Roman Catholic, and he has expressed great admiration for Pope Francis. Oh, boy. Now, this is a psychological, this is so rich. Here is the Jewish atheist suddenly loving a pope. Now, you know and I know that behind the scenes, the man has had antipathy towards Christians his whole life. That you know. That's a given. I know the milieu from which he comes. I know how they think. I know what they say behind closed doors. And you know that there's a lot of anti-Christian or Christophobia amongst people like Bernie Sanders. That would be my guesstimate. Now, all of a sudden, he finds a communist pope who espouses the rubbish about global warming and income inequality, blah, 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 without giving away a dime of the church's money. So Bernie, of course, would gravitate to that kind. I wouldn't be surprised if Bernie doesn't announce he's gonna convert to Catholicism, with the Pope eventually giving him the waffle, whatever they eat, the little waffle, the thing, the wafer. Who's in the wafer business? They must make a lot of money on the wafer business. I think we've said enough about the mayor of Burlington. We know he's not going anywhere. We understand that old Bernie's not going to get anywhere, and he's a wonderful, wonderful thing for the political party. He criticizes people with anything more than him, anyone who's better looking, who has better hair, a nicer looking wife, better shoes, a nicer car, a person who can golf better than him. Anybody who does anything better than him, he hates. That's who Sanders is. Sanders' entire life was built on resentment and hatred. And that's why he's popular amongst the university and the commie crowd, because they hate everybody. Tom on W... Oh, I can't... Whoa. Okay. 855-407-2822. If you want to comment on last night's Soviet-style so-called debate, what I think about Jim Webb, which is the highest. I'm going to try to get Jim Webb on. I don't think he'll come on. It's interesting. What's his name? None of the others will come on my show. None. The surgeon won't come on. Cruz, forget about it. The ice cream man won't come on. But Trump comes on every month. What does that tell you about Donald Trump? It tells you a lot. Now we're trying to get a Democrat on who I respect, Jim Webb. Let's see if that works. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
When you look around the world, you see every other major country providing health care to all people as a right, except the United States. You see every other major country.
Why don't you move out of the country, you backstabbing communist piece of
garbage?
Then get out of here. Go get your health care in Norway. Turn them off. Why don't you become a refugee to Norway? You little rabble rouser, you hater. You class warfare. I know the type. I'm sorry. It's very personal for me. Bernie Sanders is the type that made me leave New York in the 1970s. Because of Bernie Sanders' type in New York, I fled New York. I ran as far as I could to get away from that type of hater, that divider. He's jealous, just a jealous type. I know the type, a loser, in plain English. A loser jealous of anyone who was better looking, anybody who achieved more, anyone who had a better girlfriend, anybody who had better shoes, anybody who had a cleaner Volkswagen. This is the type of guy who hated you. But that's why he belongs on the Democrat side. He was at the right table last night. But don't think I'm just going to bash Democrats. It'll be too easy. I like Jim Webb, and I'm not doing it for effect. I think he was great. He's a real hero. And he's more conservative than most of the Republicans that I have witnessed, by the way. Certainly more Republican, more conservative than John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, wouldn't you say? Yeah, okay, I'll be back. Be here, be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
When I take over in this country, the rich are going to pay their fair share. And not only will they pay their fair share, but I am certain that others will pay their fair share as well, especially those who have any money and anything they've achieved. They must pay their fair share, because nobody has earned anything in this country, except it was on the back of others. And so I think a minimum tax rate for those making more than $10,000 a year should be at least 98%, and I would make it graduated, so people should not say that I'm unfair. Anybody making more than $20,000 a year should pay 99%. Anybody making $50,000 and up must pay 100% of their income as taxes. She said, how are they going to live if they pay 100% in taxes? My answer is simple. Let them live like the others have lived, with nothing. Let them go on welfare, food stamps. Let them see what it's like. I want fairness. I want equality in this society. And therefore, I think that fair taxes are the fairest way to go. And 100% is fair enough for anyone making over $50,000 a year. And as far as the millionaires and the billionaires, I tax them at 150%. So how are they going to live? Because they got plenty put away. They could sell their houses. They could sell the yachts. They could sell the cars. And they could empty the bank account. So 150% up to $10 million, 300% if you make more than $20 million, and then we'll have fairness in America. I would also take all of the street people from Black Lives Matter, and I make them all of my cabinet, because they know how to make things run. They know how to deal drugs. They know how to sell. They know how to make a profit. They know how to buy. They know how to sell. I'm going to put them into the Department of Human Affairs. I'm going to put them into the Education Department because they speak such fine English. I'm going to take someone from Black Lives Matter to run the Health and Human Services Department, since they know all about welfare. Believe me, we're going to have people on the ground who know just how to make this country work. I'm Bernie Sanders, and I'm running as a communist.
I try to pin him. I try to understand the face. I couldn't make heads or tails of it. It was a combo of like a Civil War daguerreotype, mixed in with a Ringling Brothers circus. I didn't know who he was, where he came from. I know he had been a Republican, then he became a Democrat, then he didn't know who he was. He knew he lived in Rhode Island, but he didn't know exactly why in Rhode Island, where he came from. But he was up there. He's a nonentity. So you got three contenders. You got the pantsuit, you got the red beret, and then you got the military. I really liked Webb. I'd vote for him. I mean, if he was the only choice, I certainly wouldn't. I was a Democrat, which I'm not. But I tell you the truth, he looked like more of a conservative than Rubio. Let's listen to clip 5 of the new hero of the Democrat Party to Michael Savage, Jim Webb, on clip 5.
Now, everybody makes their decisions, particularly when the time there is conscription. And as long as they go through the legal process that our country requires, I respect that. And it would be for the voters to decide, you know, whether Senator Sanders or anyone else should be president. I will say this, coming from the position that I've come from a military family, with my brother a Marine, my son was a Marine in Iraq, I served as a Marine, spending 5 years in the Pentagon, I am very comfortable that I am the most qualified person standing up here today to be your commander-in-chief.
But he's right, by the way. Absolutely 100% right. Now, I looked up Jim Webb's policy positions. Budget. Cut the budget by reviewing all programs, support military funding. I wrote that in my own book. Climate change and energy. I wanted to see if he was one of the, those in on that nonsense. He doesn't say anything about it. He says, limit EPA power to regulate emissions, expand energy access, build the Keystone Pipeline. That's interesting. Guns. Gun ownership is an important right, says Jim Webb. Immigration. Allow a path to citizenship after the border is secure. Support the DREAM Act. Disagree with him on that. Obamacare. President Obama mishandled the process. The law could have been narrower. That's a little hedgy. Prison reform. Jim Webb says initiate sweeping reform of criminal justice and incarceration system. I totally agree. I've been on board with this for years. I believe that the drug laws are insane. I think that drug dealers should be executed. I don't think that people who use drugs should be incarcerated. Is that clear enough? Social issues. Jim Webb. Same-sex marriage should be legal. No, more or less is legal. Government has no role in private matters. Allow abortion access. All right, that's a little debatable here. He doesn't talk about selling baby body parts or infanticide. Taxes. Where's Jim Webb on taxes? Cut corporate taxes. Raise taxes on investments. I don't know the problem with that one. I'd love to see U.S. corporate taxes lowered to that of the Europeans. You know, we hear about socialism in Europe. They pay lower corporate taxes there than we do here. Where does Jim stand on Iran? Against the negotiations with Iran. U.S. did not ask for enough concessions against the Iran deal. He's more conservative than John Boehner. Islamic State in Iraq. He says the U.S. needs a clear strategy. Unknown if he would send troops to fight Islamic State. President should limit military action. I think most people agree with him on that. So I found that there was a Democrat who is of the old school type. And Jim Webb, I loved seeing this guy. And he stood up next to Hillary Clinton and Sanders, and he really stood out. Welcome to the Savage Nation, 855-407-282. Savage debate is the issue. The ratings on CNN were very interesting. And the fact is the number of viewers was low. 15.3 mil tuned into last night's socialist debate compared to the 24 million who tuned in to see Donald Trump on Fox News in August. That's a 42% drop. Last night was a record for a Democrat debate, up from around 10 million in 08. So there's no question in my mind that if the election were held today, the Republicans would sweep the election, period, end of story. It would be Donald Trump 75-25 against Hillary. No, let's put it this way. If it was Donald Trump versus Bernie, it's 90-10. It's probably 10% crackpot that would vote for Sanders, just out of spite. If it was Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, it'd be 72-18. Then that still leaves out 10% of undecided who don't know what country they're in because they speak Arabic. 855-407-282. Line number one, Tom on WABC. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Savage. I just wanted to applaud you on your book. I couldn't put that down. It was such a great book.
Well, how did you get a copy of Government Zero? It's not even in the bookstores.
Yeah, I called you before and you gave me a free copy. So.
Oh, so they're actually sending hard copies out to winners on my show and they're getting them before the bookstores. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it is a great, it's my best book, Tom. It is my best. It is my, it's my opus. It's my best.
I also, in your book, you mentioned something about Fannie Mae, and I want to know that it's more involved than what you said in your book. I received a bogus mortgage from J.P. Morgan Chase, and the problem is that what's happening in this country is they're funding the loan, but they're not, and you can fund the loan by using a person's signature and his credit. And they don't even give you the loan at all. And then they sell empty notes to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to defraud the government.
Let's go back in history to Fannie and Freddie. Do you remember who basically resigned from Congress as a result of that? Do you remember that guy from Massachusetts, Barney Frank?
Yes.
You remember him?
Yeah.
All right, well, he was involved in this, which is why they moved him out and dummied him up. You notice you haven't heard from him in a couple of years now? He used to be a laugh line on the Savage Nation. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I'm glad you love the book. 855-407-282. If you have questions for Bernie Sanders and you'd like me to answer them, they have to be enough to get me going, though. And I don't know if I can do it because the first hour I was able to channel him a little fairly well. What happened yesterday is in the second hour it falls off because I generally eat during the break between the first and second hour. And the blood goes from my head to my stomach. And then some part of my brain that gets turned off, the ability to mimic, the ability to make up a voice that matches, it goes away. I don't know whether something hits it. Some part of the food just turns that off. I don't get it. You want to talk more about this? Here's another little news story for you. This is unbelievable. Gun control campaign. Are you ready for this? Godfather star and 80 other actors joined Bloomberg gun control campaign. From Paul Bedard, Washington Examiner. Sofia Coppola, who they say she starred in the third Godfather. I watched it last night. She ruined it. In fact, I'm not saying just because looks, you know, beauty is more than skin deep. I get that. But she ruined the movie because she's not beautiful. Her father directed us. He put her in the movie. What happened was, if you were a fan of the Godfather movies, as I was, I went to see GF3. I remember when it came out. I sat in a big CinemaScope 70mm theater. When she came out on the screen, there was a palpable gasp in the audience of people saying, I cannot believe what I'm looking at. She played opposite Andy Garcia, who was supposed to be in love with her. It was so staged. It was so not real that the operatically handsome Andy Garcia character would fall in love with her. I mean, you know, it happens. She's just doesn't have the looks. So she ruined that movie. Then they put her in a few other movies, and that was the end of her film career. So now she's looking to, be popular again. So she joined 80 other actors to fight guns now for the Michael Bloomberg-backed Every Town for Gun Safety. Now, wait till you hear this. The others will be part of the council of stars representing an entertainment industry that has made billions of dollars over violent shoot-em-ups. Paul Bedard writes, it is sure to give the Everytown movement a huge promotional pow as the actors fan out around the country to promote gun control. Other hypocrites include Alec Baldwin. He's a very pacifist man. Spike Lee never made a movie about guns. Kevin Bacon never made a movie about violence. Ellen DeGeneres never was violent. And Kim Kardashian, why is she in that list? The only people she killed were with her fat behind passing them in a crowded audience. In a statement, Everytown said that the new creative council will use its collective reach and cultural influence to support common sense solutions proven to save lives from the gun violence that claims, blah, 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 says Julianne Moore, who chairs the new group. I don't want to read what they say. It's nonsense. Keep the Second Amendment, but add some common sense laws like universal background checks to cut gun violence. Okay, yeah. Listen to me. The group's aim is to seize your guns. The group is filled with people, maybe 90% of them, who have romanticized guns, made fortunes off guns, gun violence, hatchets, axes, and they say that Hollywood is not to blame. I would say that Hollywood and violent videos are to blame, along with prescription drugs for the young male population in America. 855-700. I don't know my number right now. They shut off that to 855-400-SAVAGE. It's not like my memory's failing. I don't know what it is. I think I'm bored of politics, but we'll keep it going for a while. I was supposed to be on vacation, you know. Today was supposed to be the first day of my one-week vacation. Did you hear what happened? Why I didn't go? You didn't hear? I'm not supposed to be here. There's supposed to be a fill-in today for a week. But I'm here. It's okay. I worked all morning preparing the show. I watched the debates last night till my eyes almost came out of my ears. I didn't go. You won't believe it. I told you my friend had a boat that I was invited on. The whole crew came down with the flu before we even left, which from crossing the Atlantic Ocean on his boat. Apparently, I don't know what it is. I don't know how it happened, but everyone got sick. It's lucky I didn't go. So here I am. I may leave for a day or two. Maybe Friday I'll go somewhere, a long weekend. I'll go down to L.A. or something. I'm going to be a lot of time in L.A. coming up in the future. I'm one of the people in San Francisco who likes L.A. I love the false snobism. Oh, I don't like L.A. We're from San Francisco. Crime. We like feces in the street here. We love bums defecating in mailboxes. I mean, really, real superior. Great. I love it. Great city. People are going to meetings now about the violence from the bums. They see that the hippies in the street are violent bums with guns now. What did they think they were? What did they think they were with the dog chains and the pit bulls? They thought that they were downtrodden youth who were born to work for Bernie Sanders? Who do they think the people are on the bicycles who try to run you over? Nice eco people or psychotics with two wheels? WBOB, line 7, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Bernie, I'd like to ask you a question about national defense.
Okay, what's the question? What's the question?
Well, the question is, if it came down to that the only way to protect the United States was a nuclear strike in one of the Middle Eastern countries, would you be able to push the button, Bernie?
Absolutely not. I'm totally opposed to nuclear weapons. I want a nuclear-free world. A nuclear weapon can ruin your entire day. I've been against nuclear weapons since the 1960s when I was an anti-war activist. I was never against the brave troops, but I was against the war. I am totally against bombs of any kind, whether they be stink bombs or atomic bombs. Now, that raises the question of how I would fight ISIS. We admit ISIS is filled with people who lack economic opportunity, and because of global warming, the desert was created a very long time ago. Remember that. Go back in time, and you will see that that was once a forested area in the Middle East. This is a direct example of why global warming must be stopped right now. now. Because if it wasn't for global warming and the trees dying, there would be trees and orchards in the Middle East rather than sand. And as a result of the global warming, from going back to the Pleistocene, you have a lot of violent Arabs who are miserable and unhappy from the heat and the lack of air conditioning. And to answer your question simply, no, I would not nuke them. I would offer them jobs. I would do a job creation program in the Middle East. I know an awful lot about jobs, although I've never held one. I know a lot about it. That's your answer. Thank you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. You want to see how sick progressives are? You want to see how mentally ill they are? This just came out from the New York Post, Joe Tacopino. De Blasio, a lover of the communist Sandinistas, a hater of everything American, has removed the portrait of George Washington in order to add more diversity to the artwork hanging in the mayor's office in New York City. His brilliant wife, the genius wife, Christine Charlene McRae, is the one who was behind this. They're getting rid of George Washington. They're putting in diversity art. Include pictures of famed abolitionist Frederick Douglass and former slave-turned-philanthropist Pierre Toussaint. That will show the new New York City in the parlor room. And this is what they do. Now, you say, what's the big deal? It's only a painting of George Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, let me start from the beginning and do it in 30 seconds or less. These are hardcore communists. This is what Mao Zedong did during the Cultural Revolution. I explained it to you in great detail. It starts with the removal of art and history and the replacement of art and history, the revision of art, the revision of history by communists. It leads to very bad ends. Look at what Pol Pot did in Cambodia. Look at what Mao Zedong did in China. It started with cultural revision. It ended with millions dead. De Blasio is a psychopath. He's no different than anyone else you saw on the stage last night, except Jim Webb. I explain it all in Government Zero. Yes, my friends, it's all in that book.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Secretary Clinton, I want to start with you. Plenty of politicians evolve on issues, but even some Democrats believe you change your positions based on political expediency. You were against same-sex marriage, now you're for it. You defended President Obama's immigration policies, now you say they're too harsh. You supported his trade deal dozens of times, you even called it the gold standard. Now, suddenly last week, you're against it. Will you say anything to get elected?
Well, actually, I have been very consistent over the course of my entire life. I have always fought for the same values and principles, but like most human beings, including those of us who run for office, I do absorb new information. I do look at what's happening in the world. Take the trade deal. I did when I was Secretary of State 3 years ago that I hoped it would be the gold standard. It was just finally negotiated last week. And in looking at it, it didn't meet my standards for more new good jobs for Americans, for raising wages for Americans.
We get the picture. We get the picture. She's a facile candidate. Let's put it to you that way. We'll be very polite about it. So she won't answer the question, which is what you'd expect from a snake who has great experience in bamboozling the media. And I was shocked that that Anderson Cooper actually did a good job. I'll be honest with you. I was ridiculing him yesterday. I was skeptical. I thought he did a great job. I thought some of the questions were tough. Now, let's be clear. It was not like Fox News where Martha Washington tore at Trump immediately, tried to turn everybody against him and rip him apart. I mean, if this was a really equal debate, Cooper would have had the guts to attack Hillary Clinton about the email scandals in Benghazi right off the top. And, you know, he could have said really direct, harsh things about it because we know that she's guilty of both. You say guilty of what? Come on, let's not spell it out. If you had 30,000 missing emails, you'd ask, why are they missing? Was it about her yoga class? Or which tailor she's going to use to make her another burqa? I mean, a sweatpant, whatever, that she wears? Let's see. Here's a good one. M.A.L. Max, line 9, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, good talking to you. I, like you, would consider voting for Jim Webb. He is the only veteran that's running on either side of the aisle. I'm a former Marine and a retired law enforcement officer of 30 years. And with what's looming in the background with Russia and China and what's coming down the road with ISIS, I feel like we would need a strong leader, preferably someone with military experience.
100% right. And let me tell you, Max, none of the Republicans have any military experience who are on the stage. That's to be honest with you. And it's not just military experience. He was not sitting in the back areas. The man was awarded the Navy Cross for heroism in Vietnam. He was awarded the Silver Star, the bronze, two Bronze Stars, and two Purple Hearts. He's a real hero. But more than that, he ran the Navy when it was still the U.S. Navy. Jim Webb ran the Navy when it was the U.S. Navy, before it became a floating high school. Now, the problem for us is this. Although he is a conservative Democrat, you and I both know he doesn't have a ghost of a chance to beat the machine. That machine is never going to let that man get past a few debates. Do you agree with me on that?
I agree 100%, Dr. Savage. It's very sad, but you're correct.
Yes. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could hear, well, you know, we saw a hero emerge out of the crowd. And at the very least, if one of those people should, God forbid, become president, would you please promise us that Jim Webb will be made Secretary of Defense instead of another idiot that they put in? But I don't think that's going to happen either. But at least we saw there's a conservative Democrat out there. I didn't even know that they exist. My friend, I'm sending you Government Zero, and I hope that you enjoy the facts that are spelled out for you. 855-400-7282, line number 2, David, on WJR in Detroit. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, a question for Bernie Sanders. I was wondering, the Obama administration, under that administration, the relationship between law enforcement and the general public has been stressed and strained, to say the least. What would you do to heal that relationship?
Well, there's no question in my mind that the police have overreacted their entire life in this country. The first thing I would do is make all police in America give up their weapons and understand what it's like to be an unarmed civilian walking in these dangerous neighborhoods. That's first of all. Let them walk in the shoes of the others. There is an Indian statement that I know from Vermont. Do not criticize a man until you have walked in his own moccasins. So I would definitely say that the police should give up their weapons, number one. And number two, they must apologize to all the people who have been incarcerated in this nation, in this great nation, for crimes they may or may not have committed. But the fact is, there is an adage I learned in the gutters of New York that is still 100% true. It is known very well in the socialist circles in which I ran. I would rather 99 guilty people go free than one innocent man be found guilty. And I stand by that. And that stands also for ISIS. I'd rather 99 bombers mutilate and kill and cut people's heads off than take one innocent Arab and put him into jail. That's what I stand for. That's why I understand things that you could never understand. And that's why I will be the next president of this United States of America. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was not bad. I would redo it slightly, but it wasn't bad. It was pretty good, but the shrimp is starting to affect my brain. The brain mechanism is starting to be affected. Let's do this for a few minutes right now as people are calling in. They're lining up outside the big tent. Phone number is 855-407-28. You know how I envision the show. It's an old adage. I used to use a mental image for this show, which is, you know, the hardest thing in radio is to start the show. You know that. It's like getting a plane off the ground till you get it to cruising altitude. Same thing whether it's a rocket, a plane, or a talk show. The first 10 minutes are sheer H-E-L-L. Very hard to do, takes a great deal of courage and skill. We're at cruising altitude, so what I want to do now is cruise for a few minutes by playing for you an interview I did this morning on the local station in San Francisco on KSFO. Let's hear.
I am convinced the reason why we have such a large streaming audience here on the KSFO morning show, we do, we have people from all over the country listening to us, is because Michael Savage has the largest streaming audience in all of talk radio, and he, of course, is our favorite talk show in the lineup. He started right on this station back in the 90s. I've been listening to him all along. So is Katie. Katie was raised on Michael Savage, and here he is right now, the doctor. How are you, Mike?
She was raised on me? No wonder she's so crackpot.
And proud of it.
Proud of it. Thank you. Welcome to the Crackpots Club.
Well, are people after you this morning? I'm looking at your Twitter feed. I mean, you were going crazy last night during this debate.
I read that Donald Trump was going to live tweet, so I said, you know what, I had my staff teach me how to do it. having grown up on a Royal Portable, you know, this is all fun to me. So I watched the debate and I tweeted. Can I read you some of the tweets, guys?
Please. I'd love to, because I was following you last night and I was quite entertained, as one would expect.
Well, I was okay for a while till I had to go out for Chinese food. I could only take Bernie Sanders spittle coming out of the side of his mouth for a while, and then there was enough already. I mean, he was low on the meds ran out. I think in about 30 minutes, Bernie's meds ran out. The first one was, will Bernie wear a clean suit for the debate or a filthy workers' party outfit? That received an awful lot of, I don't know how you call it, likes, dislikes. I don't know what those things are called. People got a kick out of that one. Every time I attacked them on a personal level, because there were no politics discussed, as you understand,
so Katie, Michael, Katie's going to get you up to speed on what we call. So in the Twitter world, it's not the likes, but he got a lot of tons of retweets.
You got
tons of them.
You got retweets, and then there's also favorites. I was seeing your Twitter feed was absolutely blowing up with people saving your tweets last night as well.
Well, the thing was, I was on Facebook, and it goes from Facebook to Twitter for me. But remember, it's all new to me. I don't even know what it means when it says like, comment, share. I have no idea. The first one was, will Bernie wear a clean suit? The second was Axelrod Obama's brain being worshipped by Cooper. The third one was schmucks attacking Trump on CNN. How boring. They spent 10 minutes attacking. This is before the debate.
Right.
Then Big Ears came on. They ran a tape of Big Ears. I wrote, biggest failure in presidential history being featured on tape by CNN. Have they no shame? Here's a man who set the Middle East on fire, has turned man against man, women against man, gay against straight, black against white, white against Hispanic in the United States, and he gets up there and he's talking about global warming.
Right.
The next one was when Anderson Cooper appeared. I wrote, what? What sick glasses on Andy Blooper. Who picked his eyeglasses? I don't know. But they should be fired. They made him look ridiculous. The man just looked ridiculous. The glasses didn't work, because I named him whatever.
Well, yeah. Maybe, you know, he comes from, he's a Vanderbilt, so I'm sure this was some kind of high-level fashion item that he decided to display to make himself look appealing to the young chicks out there and the young guys out there.
I don't know. It didn't work for me. He's not a bad-looking guy, but, I mean, you know, if you like the Ronan Farrow type, he's perfect. The next one was Sheryl Crow. I didn't know she was still living. I'm glad to see she's alive, singing the national anthem. So I looked at her, I said, Sheryl Crow? And I tweeted, I outdrew Sheryl Crow at the Concord Pavilion 10 years ago. Why is she not singing the Communist Internationale to interview?
Michael, do you remember, you used to have, for people that are just new to talk radio, there was a time you started the Tea Party rallies before there was a Tea Party. You would have events at places like the Concord Pavilion, and you would pack the house like a rock star. You remember that, don't you?
We had 7,000 people at the Concord Pavilion, and I haven't done a live event since 2000, when I first got Teddy. That's a long time ago. That's over 10 years ago, 11 years ago. He was a little pup. It's interesting you should ask that, because I woke up this morning thinking about those early events, and they all came back to me, the compassionate conservative events. And I remember that one of the events we had was at the Oakland Airport Hilton, way back when KSFO was in its infancy, before I was a national host, and we had big silhouettes made of politicians out of cardboard. You know how they make them, blow them up, right, and make them out. We took a picture of Hillary Clinton, and we had it a life size on the stage. Then we had one of Bill Clinton and all the other characters, and that was called Name 'em and Shame 'em.
You know, those were tremendous events, and that was, you know, you were way ahead of your time regarding those things. I'm going back to your Twitter feed. This was the one, as I'm following you last night during the debate, I literally almost spilled my drink, and I was enjoying a nice adult beverage that starts with V and ends with A. Hillary for a no-fly zone on Bill's pants?
That's the most. You know, those are the kind of tweets that got more attention than the serious ones. Let's see. She was talking about sharing profits with the, or something, or, you know, the poor. Class warfare, typical Democrat fare.
Right.
Warfare, class warfare, sex warfare. That's their stock and trade. It used to be said that Democrats kept losing when they were losing because they attacked God, guns. Remember that?
Right.
Now they're attacking God. Was God mentioned once last night, family values? Well, it was a Democrat debate. You know, are there cows in Berkeley? No. The answer is no. The next thing was guns. Take them away. They're no good. The only guns are good are those that protect Hillary Clinton and the others with Secret Service guns. And by the way, I found a new hero on the stage. You think I'm going to just Democrat bash? I knew who Jim Webb was, former Navy Secretary, U.S. Marine. I always respected this man enormously. This guy was like a ramrod, honest being on the stage. Mm-hmm. Next to that amorphous mass of anti-American slime. I mean, I think Jim Webb would make a great president. I don't know why he has... Well, I don't know. I know exactly why we haven't heard about him, because he's a real American. He's the old-style Democrat who was a patriot, but a Democrat. Right. I thought they didn't exist anymore. He fought in Iraq. His son is in Iraq. Comes from a military family. He's in favor of the second... Remember when the issue of guns came up last night, guys? What he said?
People have a right
to defend themselves. Many of the people on this stage have Secret Service protection. People have a right to defend themselves. You see how shocked the others were on the stage? It was amazing.
You know, you said something yesterday on your broadcast, and we've repeated it even this morning. It's very clear that they're allowing an independent to run for president as a Democrat, in that of Bernie Sanders, to make Hillary look moderate or centrist, right?
I think he's a construct of the Hillary campaign. He is such a comic character, and he's a stereotype. He's a stereotype of a 1930s leftist that you'd see on a soapbox in Manhattan, standing on a soapbox railing against capitalism. Classic union organizer.
Yeah.
The International Ladies Garment Workers Union, ILGWU. He has no following outside of the universities and the disaffected, disenfranchised losers in American society. Everybody wants something for nothing, likes Grandpa. But the fact of the matter is he's never going to win. He can't win. Not a serious candidate. He's up there only because he makes her look centrist when we know she's a left-wing nut.
I have to get back to your Twitter feed here, Michael. That is my... this is the one, again, another one that just floored me, and it got a ton of favorites and a lot of retweets. Going out for Chinese... Can't take the commie liars another second. Looks like a staged Soviet event.
Didn't it look like a staged event out of the ex-Soviet Union? It was so awful and so stiff. I actually didn't go for Chinese. I went to the Basque restaurant up in San Rafael. I sat there with Teddy, had a couple of beers, ate outdoors. It was lovely. I came back, and there it was. It was still up there. I think they were still yakking about it. And I wrote, back from dinner, are they still attacking working people and pandering to the street vermin? That was my last tweet that I had. I gave it up. I couldn't take any more of it. It was something to behold. But again, I have to say on a positive note, not to just say, oh, I'm against all Democrats. I kept saying, isn't there a patriotic Democrat out there somewhere of the old style? And that was Jim Webb, former Navy Secretary, U.S. Marine. Oh, once a Marine, always a Marine. The guy was really wonderful. I'm sure he's a liberal, okay? But that doesn't make him a bad man, nor not a patriot. There are liberals who love America. He's one of them.
All right, Savage. Thanks for joining us.
See you soon, guys. Thank you. Remember,
all right,
government
good.
Zero.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, it was fun to watch him, Larry, whatever his name is. I don't know, Bernie. You know, if Woody Allen was a senator... It would be played by Bernie Sanders. If Larry David played a senator, he'd be played by this one. He is the type of uncle that would come to a dinner party, and he yells at you. He doesn't talk. He yells, and there's spittle coming out of the side of his mouth. And on top of it all, he grabs your lapel, and he starts poking you in the chest. You know, this is a type. They grab your lapel, and they yell at you. Just yell. And the spittle's flying. They spritz you, number two. They spritz you. You need a handkerchief when you talk to a guy like Bernie. And a yeller, a screamer, a ranter, and holds your lapel and pokes you in the chest and knocks you crazy and the halitosis on top of it all. I guarantee you don't want to be in the same room with this guy after a corned beef. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, there's another big hour. How about him after a pickle, a garlic pickle? Would you be in the same room, a subway car with him? Can you imagine riding a subway car and the air conditioning goes out with Bernie Sanders with it without a corned beef sandwich? Forget about it. After a rally, you have to burn his clothing. You need a biohazard facility to get rid of the clothing for Bernie Sanders after a rally. It's the Savage Nation. Another big hour. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is, believe it or not, hour number three of The Savage Nation. I don't know how we all survived last night. And I think most people who have any political interest are basically burned out by now. In other words, they invested their political capital in watching that Soviet era debate last night, and today I don't think they're as tuned into this as you can imagine. One of the funniest and most poignant articles on this was written in a National Review by Jim Garrity, and he said the debate lesson: America now has an openly socialist party. That wasn't that funny, but if you read down, it's quite funny when he gets to Bernie Sanders, but it gets even better when he talks about a guy I really like, Jim Webb. Listen to what he writes. He said, Jim Webb pointed out how affirmative action disadvantages poor whites, the need to respect the rights of gun owners, the seriousness of foreign policy threats that Democrats rarely acknowledge, like cyber threats, hacking, and China. Jim Webb was the lone voice of reality, saying, with all due respect to Senator Sanders, I don't think the revolution is going to come, and I don't think the Congress is going to pay for all this. He then gives him a jab, which I thought was unfair, and he says Webb has a good chance of winning the Democratic nomination in 1948. You almost have to wonder how Webb would be doing in the GOP presidential primary, but at a key moment, Webb flinched, saying he wouldn't have a problem with extending Obamacare benefits to illegal immigrants. But give him style points for his declaration that his biggest enemy was the man who tried to kill him with a grenade, a man who's not around anymore. I think that's another low blow. I don't appreciate it. I generally don't like to ridicule heroes, and I think Webb is a hero, and I think he'd make, frankly, a great candidate. I'd love to see him and Donald Trump arguing, frankly. I would love that, because both of them are patriots, both of them know the enemy, and both of them know the enemy within. Period, end of story. Now we're going to go on to the other material I did not get to in the previous hours of this show. I'm also open to questions for Bernie Sanders. I will still try to channel a little Bernie. If I can, I will. If the first one flops, I won't do it anymore. The phone number is 855-400-7282 is the phone number. And these are people who want to ask Bernie Sanders a question. So before we get to those imitation jobs, let's listen to the first question that Andy Blooper asked the commie in 16.
Senator Sanders, a Gallup poll says half the country would not put a socialist in the White House. You call yourself a democratic socialist. How can any kind of socialist win a general election in the United States?
Well, we're going to win because first we're going to explain what democratic socialism is. And what democratic socialism is about is saying that it is immoral and wrong that the top one-tenth of 1% in this country own almost 90%, almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%.
The spittle.
That
the
it
spittle.
Is wrong today in a rigged economy that 57% of all new income is going to the top 1%.
You hear? You hear the spittle flying? Can you smell the breath? You can feel it. You can smell it. It's palpable. You want to run out of the room just listening to the audio tape of it. You could smell the garlic breath. You can feel the hand stabbing you in the chest. He's got your lapel. The what is that medication they used to take that was popular in the 50s for schizos that they don't use anymore? It was a rather benign one. It's found in the Perrier sparkling water and naturally found. It used to be an old line medication for manic depression. I can't remember it. It's a metal. It's a heavy metal found, a light metal found in water. Yeah, lithium. He's a lithium type. And one of the giveaways of a lithium taker, and I don't think he does, I'm just... is a spittle on the right and left side of the mouth when they get excited. When Madeleine Albright was Secretary of Hate, conducting her war crimes against the Serbian people, she had a lunatic named Jamie Rubin who worked for her. This guy had a clear and present case of the white jobs on the side of the mouth. He'd get foamy. Whenever he was talking about bombing Serbia, foam appeared on the side of his mouth. He was married, by the way, to a Christine Amanpour. Where'd she go, by the way? Is she still in the news business? Or is she working for ISIS somewhere? Where is she? She taking the job as PR agent for ISIS? 855-400-7282. Now we go to him talking about health care, blah, 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 and Denmark and Sweden and Norway. The stuff that you'd hear at a college. I am a Democrat socialist. If they can provide health care in Denmark, you can provide it in this country. I certainly believe that everyone's entitled to health care, and we should use the model of Denmark. So Cooper, to his credit, obviously listened to my show long enough to answer correctly in clip 18. I was very surprised that Cooper's a listener to the Savage Nation. Listen to clip 18.
Denmark is a country that has a population of 5.6 million people. The question is really about electability here, and that's what I'm trying to get at. The Republican Attack Act against you in a general election, it writes itself. You supported the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, you honeymooned in the Soviet Union, and just this weekend you said you're not a capitalist. Doesn't that ad write itself?
Wait, this is good. I was surprised Cooper did a very good job on the commie. But if you look carefully, he was supposed to. Sanders was put there like a lightning rod to take the heat away from Hillary. Don't you get it? Now imagine that debate last night without Sanders. Then all of this left-wing stuff would have come out of her. You'll get it? So they attack him because he's the target. So let's hear how Senator Larry David answers in clip 19.
Well, first of all, let's look at the facts. The facts that are very simple. Republicans win when there is a low voter turnout, and that is what happened last November.
Notice he's not answering the question about... Shut up. Go have a pickle somewhere, you loser. Cooper said you supported the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. You honeymoon in the Soviet Union. Okay? He said he's not a capitalist, and now he's attacking Republicans. This is who he is. This is what these people are, demagogues. Demagogues. Could you imagine who, if God forbid there was a fluke in America somehow, that they imported enough illegal aliens into the country just in time for the election, if they could do that, and they're working as fast as they can to make sure that they're certified illegal voters to become legal. Jerry Brown just made the Department of Mexican Voting Act here in the state of California. And so they could bring in, let's say, 20 million to make sure that all of the working people in America's vote don't count. And that Sanders became president. What would he and his wife do with the portraits in the White House? That's what I like to know. Who would they replace it with? It's obvious to me that any portrait of any of the founding fathers would be taken out of the White House and thrown into a fire. There'd be a bonfire on the White House lawn. And obviously there'd be portraits of is a tough question. Mao Zedong to show cultural diversity. Pol Pot to show cultural diversity. And forget about removing the bust of Winston Churchill. De Blasio just removed the portrait of George Washington in New York. You can imagine what this nutcase would put up there. Probably Emma Goldman. I would say there'd be a portrait of Emma Goldman in the White House, if not a statue of Emma Goldman. They'd have to melt down probably 2 metric tons of bronze to do it life size and in real. But Emma Goldman would be on the thing, you could just name it. 855-407-282 is the phone number. There's a few other sound bites I want to get to with not just Sanders. I mean, he's a laugh line. We'll use him from now until he's still in the race. Cooper then calls out Hillary Clinton on being part of the 1%. In clip 20, listen to how she lies her way out of it in 20, clip 20.
In all candor, you and your husband are part of the 1%. How can you credibly represent the views of the middle class?
Well, you know, both Bill and I have been very blessed. Neither of us came from wealthy families, and we've worked really hard our entire lives. And
neither did Al Capone.
I want to make sure every single person in this country has the same opportunities that he and I have had to make the most of their God-given potential.
Yay.
And to have
the audience was stocked with a bunch of stupid women in there with the clapping every 2 minutes. I don't appreciate the clapping crowd. Which would, you know, she didn't answer the question. Anderson Cooper did his best. He said, you and your husband, Bill Clinton, are part of the 1%. How can you credibly represent the views of the middle class? Right? She goes into the standard stump heat. I don't know why they said she was such a great speaker, won the debate. She won nothing. She was the same facile liar she's always been. What do you mean that she won? What'd she win? You mean compared to the others she won? No. Jim Webb won. That's who won. He was the only man on the stage who amounted to anything. He was real, he was honest, and he said the right things. So here we go now to class warfare. We went from economic warfare in Hillary's mouth. Now we go to class warfare again with none other than Senator Larry Sanders in racism in clip 22.
My question for the candidates is, do Black lives matter or do all lives matter?
The question from Arthur in Des Moines is, do Black lives matter or do all lives matter? Let's put that question to Senator Sanders.
Black lives matter. And the reason those words matter is the African-American community knows that on any given day, some innocent person like Sandra Bland can get into a car, and then 3 days later, she's going to end up dead in jail. Or their kids are going to get shot.
Oh, you lowlife.
We need to combat institutional...
I can't listen to him. I'm sorry. If he was at a party, I was out to throw him out of the door. He's the type that people would throw out of a house. They throw him out of a family. They would disown him. It was a stinker. No one would like anyone like him. Don't get me started because there's a lot more I'd like to say about him. You know, I laugh about him. He's an evil, dangerous, low-life demagogue from Brooklyn. If he was from the Bronx, I'd say otherwise, but he's from Brooklyn. That's why I say that. Savage tweets of socialist debate rule. All my tweets are on michaelsavage.com. You now know how to reach me on Facebook. It was supposed to be on my website by now. I don't know where it is. People want to know how to get me on Facebook. I asked to have it posted. I don't know where it went. See the entire catalog at the store. I don't know. I just got into this. It's like not that important to me. And secondly, if I do a lot of Facebook, it means I'm supporting Mark, whatever his name is. I forget his name. Who's the guy who owns Facebook? The guy who wants illegal aliens? I don't remember. Whatever. It's enjoyable. Okay. Likes, dislikes. I see people spend their whole life on Facebook. I was never on it. I had other people once in a while would put something up for me. Now that I'm on it, I have a picture with me in the car with the dog I like. Then the book is up there now. Now we have the Navy Dancing Girls. San Francisco Fleet Week is up there now. 3,201 people reached. They don't work for a living. They have nothing to do but look on Facebook and answer. And then there's a picture of Teddy and me that 17,000 people like. So it shows that dogs sell more than dancing girls, at least in my audience on Facebook. And 855-47282. How many do I have? Likes, no likes, post reaction. I guess people do this and they actually live on this thing. How many people react and don't react and do like them and don't like them? It becomes a virtual world. I can see what happens. You start saying, how many answered? How many people responded? How fast did they respond? Did they like me? Is anyone inviting me out on a date? Should I get a new suit? Do I need a... You see, I'm just joking today. Here's someone who likes me. Look at this. Michael Savage, you're just too cute. No, the picture was of Teddy, not of me. Sometimes when I'm walking the dog, people say... They don't know me. They don't. But they look at the dog and, oh, isn't he cute? So for fun, I'll turn. If it's a woman, I'll say, you're talking about me or the dog. It's a funny line. It's cute. It's harmless. It really is. I don't mind. I don't mind playing with life. Life can be innocent and fun, you know. So let's go to the callers of the Savage Nation. I'm going to return, or I'll do a... I can't do Bernie anymore. The salt and pepper shrimp already was digested. The blood sugar went from the head right to the stomach, thank God. Because all of my OCD is gone now. It was all low blood sugar before. You ever get a thing where you can't get a song out of your head? It was going on all morning. I was really frightened. I was going to call a therapist. There was a song I couldn't get out of my head. I wasn't even singing it. I don't know where it came from. I don't even play certain rock and roll anymore on my show because the song gets in my head. I can't get it out. I'm in the toilet, the song. I'm taking a shower, the song. I'm on a bike ride, the song. And I say, this is worrisome. I don't know what to do. It's like a bee flying around in my head. But this was worse. It was a thought. And it wasn't a dangerous thought, but it was repetitive. Around and around and around. It was like banging around in my head. I said, this is bad. I can't stop it. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to end it. So I had a big lunch and it went away. Shows you I was starving. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. Let's go to the callers immediately. Time is short. Line 6, go ahead, please. What's on your mind, sir?
I have a question for Bernie Sanders.
Yes, what is it?
I need to know, what is the difference between a Democrat socialist and a progressive liberal? And for Christ's sake, why did you go soft on the Second Amendment? Why did you let Hillary Clinton make you go soft? You used to be a supporter of the Second Amendment. I don't understand.
Well, I'll answer your first question first, because the second one is a little antagonistic, frankly. The first question is, what's the difference between a progressive and a socialist, I think? It's very simple. Very, very simple. Socialist believes in taking what is rightfully the possession of those who worked for it and taking it and giving it to the bums in society, the losers and the stupid. That simply is what socialism is. A progressive, on the other hand, not only wants to take income from those who worked for it and give it to the losers and the dummies, but they want to shoot them as well. Now, what was the second question?
Why did you go soft on the Second Amendment? You let Hillary Clinton make you switch your stance. You have been
I personally find that very offensive. I did not go soft on anything. That implies I am impotent. I will tell you right now, I do not use Viagra. I do not use any sexual enhancement pill whatsoever. I have not had sex in the last 150 years, number two. But that is aside from the fact. The fact is, I did not go soft on the Second Amendment. I come from a rural state of Vermont, where many, many people hunt. Many people have hunting rifles. I myself don't. I have never shot a BB gun. In fact, when I hear a hunting rifle go off, I have to call my psychiatrist or 911. But that is my personal belief, my personal fears, because I am from Brooklyn. And the gun, to me, was always a dangerous thing to the people that elected me, the morons in Vermont, who fell for the shtick that I give. Okay, I got to throw them a bone, so I talk about guns as though they matter. I hate them all. I think they should take them and throw them in the ocean. But I can't say it. They throw me out of the Senate. Any other questions? Thank you for the call. Not bad. Come on. It's wearing out a little bit, but I still enjoy it very much. Robert, is it still playing? My staff likes it. I'm entertaining them. Robert and Jim are suffering in Dallas. I see them on a Skype screen. And it can't be that bad if I make them laugh every once in a while. You know, we need to lighten this up a bit. Don't you think so? We need to lighten it up. How much can we take of this? These are not the best and the brightest people, except for Jim Webb. Lincoln Chafee, I have no idea what funeral he just walked in from. If I were casting a funeral in a comedy, like a light comedy, Lincoln Chafee would play either a pallbearer or the funeral homeowner. You put a lot of white makeup on him, you could do a Frankenstein with Lincoln Chafee. Hillary Clinton, as I said, I did a yardage estimate on the pantsuit. If you laid the fabric out on a table, it would make at least three burkas for an average heavy woman.
8 years ago, I was one of the many candidates sharing my vision for our country's future. After a hard-fought primary, we came together and built a historic grassroots campaign to bring change to America.
Is that music?
Together, we enacted historic Wall Street reform to protect consumers and prevent
another
crisis.
Am I hearing that, or is it in it?
Together, we've changed the way we use energy and the way our schools prepare our kids.
If I start hearing that without anything playing, I'm checking myself in.
And another 16 million Americans now know the peace of mind of health insurance. Together, we've stood up for justice and equality.
A lunatic.
Freedom to marry is now open to all.
That's all.
So we're
going
to have to fight.
Freedom to marry.
Just as hard in this election as we did in the last two.
It's sickening.
No matter who's on the ballot next November, that's the choice we're going to face.
Whichever communist
still fired up
wins the nomination, you should support.
I'm not just asking you to work as hard for our party as you did back in 2008 or 2012.
All right,
I'm asking you to work even harder.
You hear the whisper part?
Doors.
Him and Michelle developed that.
Give
the whisper.
More than you thought you could.
I've tried it myself. I wonder if
I know the Democrats won't just win the White House and Congress and elections all the way down the ticket. We'll keep building on the extraordinary progress of the past several years. And we'll leave our kids in America that's better than ever. Thanks, everybody.
Better than ever. Look how good he's done. Middle East is on fire. He's created a Cold War, almost a shooting war with Russia. Everywhere you turn, Israel's in turmoil. People are being stabbed to death in the streets. And this schmuck is up there talking about global warming. And that schmuck's up there talking about income inequality. And the other moron is up there talking about marriage equality. The other idiot is talking about income redistribution. Yeah, go vote for a Democrat, you idiot, you. I'm asking you to work even harder, and that the Democrats won't just win the White House and Congress and elections all the way down the ticket. I thought he was going to then say, and we'll incarcerate everyone who didn't vote for us. I thought that was going to be the next part of the sentence. Okay, let's move on. Last night was quite an experience. No wonder I woke up with a migraine. Here's the Department of Homeland Security.
with the genius, Mr. Jed Johnson, when he was asked about the Syrians that are flooding into America, the Muslims. He admits he doesn't know who they are. Listen to clip 28 and see if you sleep better tonight.
We have committed to resettling 10,000 Syrian refugees in fiscal year 16. And we're looking at more for fiscal year 17.
Really?
By the end of 15, we will have resettled approximately 2,000. So we want to do more. We believe we need to do more. But it is a time-consuming process, and one of the challenges we will have is that we're not going to know a whole lot about the individual refugees that come forward from the UN High Commission on Refugees for resettlement and vetting. So it will be a challenge.
This is who Obama picked to run the Department of Homeland Security, an unknown man, a lawyer, a lobbyist, who admits he doesn't know who's coming into the country, where they're coming from, whether they're a terrorist or not a terrorist, whether they came from Syria or they came from Libya. He doesn't know and he doesn't care. All he knows is they're an automatic voter for the Democrat Party. If you people don't see the danger we're in, nobody will ever be able to help you. It's that simple. Let's go to some of the callers. Jito on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Go ahead. What's on your mind today?
Dr. Savage, you asked a very important question. Your bombshell novel, Stop the Coming Civil War. Are we becoming cultural Marxists? And I would have to say, based on going to the Million Idiot March last Saturday, that it's a resounding yes. I was surrounded by communists, race baiters, just people who have no idea what's going on planet Earth. I wouldn't even be surprised if they knew how to tie their shoes, yet they just regurgitate everything that's being said by the socialist Bernie Sanders, the socialist Pope Francis, the socialist Hillary Clinton, and I'm tired of it. And I can't stand it anymore, and I just want to say thank you for speaking up, because I need to hear your voice to keep going, sir.
Well, that's a compliment, so obviously I'm thankful, and I will send you a copy of Government Zero, the next in the sequence, the last in the sequence, by the way. And it goes well beyond Stop the Coming Civil War. There's not a rehash at all in it, and it shows us the damage Obama and the leftists have done and what they intend to do. And I think in light of the Democrat convention, Democrat debate, so-called, last night, you really need to have a copy of this book to show to a neighbor, a friend, or a loved one who is living in a dream world. I don't know whether they'll read it. I doubt it. But stay on the line, Gito. We'll send that out to you. Now let's go to a little bit more here's a couple of calls for Bernie. WABC Rich, go ahead, please. What's your comment?
Oh, my comment. I have a question for Bernie. Okay, Bernie. Last night during the debate, you said that you were for recreational marijuana. Now, I make more than $20,000 a year. How am I supposed to pay for that when 99.99.99% of my money is going to taxes?
Okay, I got to answer as Bernie now. Well, look, under my new tax plan, marijuana will be provided for free by the government. It will be government farms growing the marijuana so people can enjoy the medicine of the marijuana. We'll be giving it out in lozenges and candies of different kinds down to the age of 9. Under 9, I think, is a little too dangerous at this time, because 99% of the scientists agree that marijuana is safe for everyone up above the age of 9. The scientists we have found at NYU who are stoned out of their gourd most of the time have all determined that anyone from 9 up can have sex with anybody, and they can smoke marijuana with impunity because it's good for them. It is like a medication and therefore very much required by a sane and humane government, which we're going to give out. So you ask a question for which I've given an answer, in the sense that you don't have to worry about paying. We're going to take care of it. We're going to grow it in Indiana and give it away for nothing.
Oh my gosh, Dr. Savage, you're amazing. You just proved another point why these people that's running for office shouldn't even be there. I don't understand.
You know, I'll tell you, what's funny about Bernie and my attempts at imitating him, and they were better in the first hour. I get a little tired by hour three. My Bernie is better in hour one than hour two, and better than the three. But is this, years ago, I used to do a Doctor on Savage, where people would get to ask a liberal, you know, get me to answer as a liberal would, and I'd go on in a voice, a falsetto voice of a Doctor on Savage. Those of you in the audience who remember that, raise your hand. I've been around so long, I'm sure some of you do. But now I don't have to do Doctor on Savage and stress my vocal cords. All I got to do is do a few changes in my glottal stops, go and make believe I'm the uncle I ran away from in New York, the crazed uncle that nobody would want around during a Seder, who would spit on himself and spill knishes on the shoes, grab your lapel, poke you in the chest, and start screaming and not let you go about the wonders of communism. So it's very easy, frankly. Stay in the line of copy. A copy of Government Zero goes out. I hope that Bernie, I say go, Bernie, go. I want him to go all the way to the convention. I really need radio material. Look, Hillary, there's not much material. What can you say about it? We had 8 years of her. There's nothing new to say. I mean, you're going to do a Bill Clinton imitation? I don't do it. It's not interesting, not funny. You're going to say the dress? Not funny. Cattle gate, this gate, not funny. Emails dead already in the water, gone. No one's going to look into them because the FBI took them and made sure they were flushed. That's two. That's over with. Benghazi, no one knows what it is. They think it's a cream for, like, arthritic pain. They think it's, like, in a tube. But you say Benghazi, they think you mean Bengay. They don't know what it is. So that's over with. So that's not an interesting thing, Hillary Clinton. Are my references too obtuse for the average audience? I'm starting to think, when I look at Facebook, by what I post, I see what people respond to. A picture of Teddy got more than anything. And it's very interesting to see what people actually respond to. You could see why politicians become so boring. They do focus groups, and they know what the average idiot out there responds to. So they sit up there like a robot, and they repeat words that they know will get a response from an audience of numbskulls, and that's all they talk about. 98% of scientists. You got to play the Bernie Sanders one on global warming. This is fantastic. I would say that if there is an excess of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, it was caused by Bernie Sanders' family using too much seltzer and not disposing of the bottles properly in Brooklyn. That's what probably did it, was the escape of the carbon dioxide from the top of the bottle went into the atmosphere and probably caused the glaciers to melt a little bit and the polar bears to get high on the carbon dioxide that flew up there, according to Al Sharpton. Let's listen to the great scientific genius Bernie Sanders on global warming.
The scientific community is telling us if we do not address the global crisis of climate change, transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to sustainable energy, the planet that we're going to be leaving our kids and our grandchildren may well not be habitable. That is a major crisis.
Oh, you moron, you. 98% of the sold-out whores with science credentials who receive government grants say a thing like that, you schmendrick, you. You know that it's all a lie, you phony, you. It's a way of stealing money and stealing people's energy from them. Now, we then go into guns. And he did a whole thing on guns, gun control. And he comes from a people of the state of Vermont. Let's listen to Sanders now in clip 8, just because you need a good laugh. Listen.
Let's begin, Anderson, by understanding that Bernie Sanders has a D-minus voting record from the NRA. Let's also understand that back in 1988, when I first ran for the United States Congress, way back then, I told the gun owners of the state of Vermont, and I told the people of the state of Vermont, a state which has virtually no gun control, that I supported a ban on assault weapons. And over the years, I have strongly supported instant background checks, doing away with this terrible gun show loophole, and I think we've got to move aggressively at the federal level in dealing with the straw man purchases.
How about the straw man candidates? Can we deal with that? Is it possible for we in America to move strongly to get rid of the straw man candidates like Bernie Sanders, who's up there only to make Hillary Clinton look less insane? What do you think of that? Now, the best one, again, is Webb, former Navy secretary, Marine, combat veteran, hero, highly decorated, wonderful man. Listen to his straight answer compared to that lunatic from Brooklyn. Listen to clip number 10.
Look, there are two fundamental issues that are involved in this discussion, and we need to pay respect to both of them. The first is the issue of who should be kept from having guns and using firearms. And we have done not a good job on that. A lot of them are criminals, and a lot of the people who are getting killed are members of gangs inside our urban areas, and a lot of them are mentally incapacitated. In the shooting in Virginia Tech in 07, this individual had received medical care for mental illness from three different professionals who were not allowed to share the information.
100% right. I have said the same thing. Mentally unstable, mentally ill people should not have guns. And I stand by that. I said the same thing and I agree with him. And then he goes on to clip number 11 on guns. Let's see what you think about that one.
So we do need background checks. We need to keep the people who should not have guns away from them. But we have to respect the tradition in this country of people who want to defend themselves and their family from violence.
Senator,
there are people are going back and forth here for 10 minutes here. You know, there are people at high levels in this government who have bodyguards 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The average American does not have that and deserves the right to be able to protect their family.
I think that's a very clear answer. I wouldn't agree with everything he just said about background checks, although I certainly believe that there needs to be some kind of background check on some people. Let's put it to you that way. And I would start very clearly in the gang-ridden neighborhoods. I'd go a little further than that, but I don't want to go into that right now. You want to start with gun control? Start getting gun control by controlling the guns in the hands of the illegal aliens and the gangs that are making certain cities uninhabitable. Let's start with that. Let's start with the obvious. Not with the people who are locking themselves up at night and putting their alarms on and making sure that their shotgun is loaded to keep the bad people out from harming them and their family. Let's be a little clear here and go after those who we really fear, not those who are trying to protect themselves. But you haven't heard one person say that, have you? Oh, my goodness, look at the time. It is 47 minutes after the hour. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Real breaking news on the Savage Nation. As the third hour comes to a conclusion, there is a bomb that was just thrown into the news world. Headline, Fox News, Cuba jumps in. A top Cuban general and Cuban soldiers are in Syria, aiding Assad and Russia, advising Assad soldiers, preparing to man Russian-made tanks to aid Damascus in fighting American proxy forces in Syria. Now think about what this does to the doofus in the White House. Here the doofus reached out to Iran, gave them a nuclear weapon. Here doofus went to Cuba, shook the hands of the Cuban dictators, the Castro brothers, and he got nothing in return. And now Cuba turns around and stabs him in the back and says, and sends Cuban troops to Syria to fight alongside Russia to kill our factotum forces. How is that for a commander in chief? How is that for a psycho in the White House? Any other nation would hold an emergency hearing, an emergency resolution. They would throw the man out of office for having bungled such a thing like this. If this happened in England, because of the parliamentary system, they would call for elections, and they would dismiss this man as the incompetent nut that he is. But we're stuck with him. And he goes on and on, booming voice, talk loudly, carry a limp stick. Cuba jumps in, top general soldiers in Syria to aid Assad in Russia. And this is the same Cuba that Obama reached out to not too long ago. And a general is there, a top general, General Leopoldo Cintra Frias, head of Cuba's armed forces, was in Syria, according to info received by the University of Miami Center for Cuban and Cuban-American Studies. And on Wednesday, U.S. official confirmed to Fox News that Cuban paramilitary and special forces units are on the ground in Syria, citing evidence from intelligence reports. Can you believe this? Cuban troops may have been training in Russia and may have arrived in Syria on Russian planes. Institute for Cuban and Cuban American Studies says it would indicate that General Raul Castro is more interested in supporting his allies, Russia and Syria, than in continuing to normalize relations with the United States of America. Now, you have to absorb this to understand what this means with regard to Barack Obama's, shall I say, incompetence? Earlier this year, your president removed Cuba from the list of state sponsors of terrorism. He set out to normalize relations between Cuba and the U.S. Did you know that? He threw away decades of embargoes against Cuba. And he said there are those who want to turn back the clock and double down on a policy of isolation, but it's long past time for us to realize that this approach doesn't work. It hasn't worked for 50 years. Ladies and gentlemen, Barack Obama's appeasement policies are very dangerous for your survival. He is appeasing the radical Muslims who are killing Christians and flooding into America with his help. And now he's appeasing the Cubans who are supplying troops to Russia to to kill our so-called good rebels.